Marcus, and y'all remember that. As the Lord brings you to her, remember it this week, her and Brother Marcus. And we all got burdens. We all got heartaches. There's not a person here today that doesn't have a burden, but one has been mentioned this morning that we need to pray for. Well, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy this morning. I'm going to sing, and we're going to be singing, "Were You There?" The Negro spirituals were very popular with the slaves, and they would sing them as nobody else could, one to another, talking about hope and anticipation. But also, too, I found out that in their Negro spirituals, they would have coded messages to each other that it didn't want the slave owner to know. Now, I don't think there's one in this one. If it is, I missed it. But I'm going to do my best. Wanda's been practicing. She's ready, too. And I'm going to sing, "Were You There?" Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they rose up from the grave? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Amen. Miss Wanda, you did a good job trying to keep up with me. Appreciate that, because I have no idea when I'm supposed to start, so I depend on you. Go with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 through 7, and I know what you're thinking this morning. Said, "Wow, that was terrible. I'm going to sing next Sunday." Can we get somebody to sing next Sunday? Raise your hand. Okay, Miss Inez, Marcus going to sing next Sunday, okay, and if there's nobody after that, I'm going to sing again. But testing your salvation. I really believe that the doctrine of eternal security, I believe it with all my heart, for those that are truly saved. But I believe there's people saved that don't know it. I believe there's people that think they're saved and they're not. So we're going to be looking at today testing your salvation. And this morning we're going to finish the book of 2 Corinthians, or as elect Donald Trump says, 2 Corinthians. So Paul calls the Corinthian believers to examine themselves, whether or not they be in the faith, in light of the fact they were so easily seduced by the false teachers. In fact, Jeremiah called the people to examine themselves and turn back to the Lord in Lamentations 3:40. Paul taught self-examination at the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Peter taught believers to make their calling and election sure in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. But here today, Apostle Paul challenges the believers to prove themselves. There's two words here we're going to look at in verse 5, the word prove and the word examine. And I want you to note that they are in the present tense. That means this ongoing examination and proving or testing should be ongoing in our life. Not just having walked an aisle in 1940, but do I believe in Jesus Christ? You know, am I saved? Not that you lose it, but I'm telling you what Paul says. There's an ongoing examination here. And this text raises two questions that we're going to look at today. Number one, why should we examine ourselves? And what standards should we use? In other words, what is the criteria that we use to determine whether or not we're a child of God? So we're going to look at these two this morning, but before that, I want you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word, and we're going to begin to read in our text, beginning in verse 5. Examine yourselves, or testing your salvation. Paul said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that we should do that which is honest, though we are as reprobates. And that's a strong term there, reprobates, and I'm going to explain that to you in a moment, because if you're not saved, you're a reprobate. You don't have to be a Saddam Hussein. You don't have to be a Stalin. You don't have to be a Hitler. If you're not saved this morning, you're a reprobate. And we're going to look at this text this morning. We're going to look at these two questions. Father, I pray as we open the Word, you open our hearts. My goal this morning is not to make anybody feel guilty, is not to cast doubt on anybody, but it's a self-examination of whether or not we be in the faith and whether or not Christ dwells in us. So I pray you teach us from your word this morning that we'll be honest and real this morning. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Verses 5 through 7. First of all, why should we examine ourselves? Well, Paul outlines this for us in verse 5. There are two reasons. Number one, to determine whether or not we're in the faith. To determine, notice it in verse 5, to determine whether or not we are in the faith. Now, the faith here is not the body of beliefs. Here it's used as subjective faith. It's talking about a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have repented of our sins and we've placed our faith in Him alone and His work on the cross for our sins. We're depending on nothing else to get us to heaven other than what Jesus did on the cross. If we're depending on anything else, we're being deceived. And it burdens my heart because we got people in churches today that they know they're saved by grace through faith, but it's like they're trying to keep themselves saved. If they commit one sin, they go to hell. Or if they don't do this or that, they're going to hell. We're not talking about that. We're talking about rewards when we talk about that. And so they live by grace, but they try to keep themselves saved by works. And it doesn't add up. Works are important. I believe that. They manifest and give evidence we're a child of God in that regard. But we don't want to get them confused here. Notice verse 5 again, if you will. He said, examine yourselves, number one, whether you be in the faith. Whether you're a child of God. Now, how do we examine ourselves? Well, there's some questions we can ask ourselves this morning. If you want to know that the man you're taking your car to is a mechanic, all you got to do is ask him a few questions, right? Don't go by what's on the wall or what plaques on the wall, because that might be, you know, you've heard of people going to dentists and going to doctors and they didn't even go to school, right? And they're doing that. So you ask questions. Number one, do you have the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart? Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and Romans 8, 16. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. Number two, do you love the brethren? 1 John 3, 14. If you don't love the brethren, then you're just whistling Dixie. Do you practice righteousness? And I'm not talking about completely holy. We are completely holy in Christ's work, but not yet because we're in this flesh. But do you have a desire? Is there a pattern of righteousness in your life? And that is found in 1 John 2:29 and 3:9. Have you overcome the world so that you're living a life of godly separation? 1 John 5:4. Do you abide in his word? John 8:31. If we don't abide in his word, we're not his disciples. Do you keep his commandments? Do you obey his commandments? John 14:21. There is a desire in the believer's heart to obey God. That today is looked at as being legalistic. That today is looking at taking the lordship of Christ too far. But listen, folks, Christians have a desire to obey the Lord, right? Now you follow me here now, okay? Do you bear fruit and give evidence of a transformed life? John 15:1-8. Is your mind set on the earthly or the heavenly? Romans 8:5. These are just a few of the questions we can use to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith, if we believe in Jesus Christ, okay? But Paul outlines something else for us here in verse 5. There's a second reason why we need to examine ourselves. And he says to determine if Jesus Christ is in you. Now, notice verse 5 again, if you will. He said, examine yourselves, will you be in the faith? Prove your own selves, or test your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. There is no such thing as a believer who has not Jesus Christ in him, who has not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in him. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, that's another word, Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit, same thing. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ living within you, you can't claim to be a child of God, okay? Now notice something else here as we talk about this. Now this, I believe, was a problem, one of the problems at Corinth, and problems in a lot of churches. We have people who are saved. We have people who think they're saved. We have people who are not growing. All churches are like this. Everywhere you go, you may go to a different church, but after a while you uncover the same problems in every church, right? And you need to know that today. If you were to leave us, you're going to run across the same problem. You wouldn't know about it yet, but you eventually would. But we are filled with people who are not growing. We are filled with carnal Christians. We are filled with people who are a hundredfold Christians, who are doing all, giving their body to the Lord to work through him. But we have a diverse group in our churches. We have saved and lost in our churches. And Paul called such people reprobate. Now that's a strong term. That means counterfeit, discredited after the test. You test yourselves and you come up short. You have been discredited because of the test. Am I a Christian or not? You've been unapproved, or you've been rejected, and you've been worthless. And I want you to get my heart today, because, you know, we don't depend on others to judge us whether or not we're Christians, because they're in the same boat we're in. Only God can do that, as we're going to look at in just a moment here. And there are people that I thought when the ministry was side by side with me, people in churches that were side by side with me, and the FBI can't find them now. Where are they at? You say, well, I think they were saved at one time. They ain't no saved at one time. They're saved forever, amen? And if you think you're saved for one time and then you turn your back on God, you never had it, right? That's what the Bible teaches here. Our churches are filled with such people, reprobates. The word reprobate there that we see twice in our text is used 8 times in the New Testament. And I like Romans 1:28, man without God. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, doesn't say they didn't have a, you see, there is no such thing as an atheist. All people know that there's a supreme being, okay? Because notice what the text says. The text says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God they gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And in fact, here in verses 6 and 7 of our text here, Paul emphasizes the fact that it's important for a person to know for sure that he's saved and go into heaven and not a reprobate, not a church member. There's a lot of church members, I'll just be quite honest with you, that are going to go to hell because they're reprobate. There's no evidence in their life they're born again. Yes, they come, and they sit, and they do this and that and the other, but there's no fruit. There's no good works. There's no spiritual fruit in their lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says it this way, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." You know, there are those that teach you can get saved and converted, but you got to wait 8 months for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's hogwash. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not saved. Any arguing has to be done with the text, right? And he says in verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." What does that mean? That means that before I got saved, I was dead to God and alive to sin. After I got saved, I was alive to God and dead to sin, right? And that's what it's talking about. Verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead shall dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And then I like 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. "He that believeth that the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God made him a liar, because he believeth not the record or the testimony that God gave of his Son." And what is that? Verse 10, verse 11. "And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son," because he is eternal life, right? "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know." Now, everybody say that with me. "That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." That's why we examine ourselves. Number one, Paul says, to determine whether or not we're in the faith. Number two, to determine whether or not Christ is in us. There's the Lord. Y'all wake up? All right. See, if that had been a rapture, you'd went in your sleep right there. What standard should we use? Well, certainly not ourselves. If we solely trust in what we think, then that may not be true, because we're dead sinners. Alive by Christ, yes, but we still live in this sin body. Saul, for instance, okay, I'll bring him up right here, thought persecuting Christians was pleasing to God, and he thought he was doing what was right, but he was sincerely wrong. He committed his sin in ignorance till he was shown the truth and the Lord shined to him, right? Then he understood, woe is me, right? That's the what it means. You know, people sin. God help those that sin willingly. I mean, that's terrible. But we all have sinned out of ignorance until we've been given light from the Word of God to show us. And there's going to be many that are going to be standing before Christ one day thinking they were right with God. It's going to be sad. That text I like to read all the time, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? Have I not cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So the standard we use is not ourselves, right? Secondly, the standard we use is not others. We look around this morning and we think for sure that everybody in this building is saved. But we don't go by the standard of other men. Why? Because they're not Christ. He's our standard of measurement. Why? Because they're sinners just like us. They're fallible just like us. We can't read the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, but God can. And that brings us to the only rightful standard that we should use, and that's God's word. And that's it. That's what the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:1, test the spirits. God is the final and the correct standard through his word. Okay? Are y'all listening to me this morning? I know some of you are, but some of you are tinking and toddling and twiddling. Okay? Is that a word? You're my dictionary. Doting is a word, right? Doting. I don't know what it is, but God is the final and correct standard through his word. God is the ultimate and final judge who knows the hearts of men. And in fact, Paul said it this way, God knows who are his. Amen. We look at people, yes, we're fruit inspectors. We don't see any fruit, we don't see any evidence, and we say something, you know, about if you don't see any fruit and evidence, treat them like a lost person. You need to witness to them. But when it's all said and done, only God knows who are his, right? Amen. So, folks, I'm telling you, there are many people in our churches that are trusting in subjective feelings. Feelings change, don't they, according to your economic status, what's going on, happenstances in your life, up or down. Feelings change, right? Like when we were helping move in Brother Frank, I mean, I felt pretty good till we started. 2 hours later, I said, man, I ain't going to make it, you know. But feelings are subjective. You don't go by feelings. You go by objective truth. You go by the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? That's where we get our assurance of salvation. So I would tell you what Paul says in a lot of these false teachers. He says, and you're being so easily swayed, examine yourselves, prove yourselves to see if you're in the faith and whether or not Christ lives in you. Father, thank you for your word this morning.